John chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I am the true vine. He is the gardener. He cuts in me that branch that does so that bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The word of the Lord.
On Friday, my daughter Raylan wanted to play doctor. So she told me, I'm going to get set up. Oh, he's giving me freedom to move now. And she said, and then come in. So I came into the room and I sat down and she had a notepad. She said, what happened? I said, well, I broke my arm. She grabbed my arm and she looked at it and she moved, does this hurt? Does this hurt? And then she says, did you get a late appointment? Did you book your appointment late? And I said, no, I just broke my arm and then I came here. I was hoping you could help. And she said, okay, well, we're really busy today. So why don't you go wait and we'll call you when we're ready. This is the most true to life doctor's game I've ever played with her. So I went and sat in the waiting room and she went and did something and then she brought me in and said, we got to give you an x-ray. So we got an x-ray. She said, okay, I got to go read the x-ray. I'll be right back. And she drew a picture of my arm and said, see, you broke your arm. And I said, I know, I told you I broke my arm. And then she said, did you get a late appointment? You got to go wait a little bit longer. And then she wrapped my arm up in a bandage and said, okay, just be careful and you'll have to come back in a couple of weeks. So I don't know if she's going to call me back into her office in a couple of weeks or not. She may forget about it at that point. But when Melissa got home, I said, I just played the wildest game of doctor with Ray ever. It was like we were in a real doctor's office. And Ray was right there, and she said, well, I want to be a doctor. I have to practice. And it's true. She has said for the last couple of years, ever since I think really Tyson was diagnosed with diabetes, that she wants to be a doctor. And it was when she finished preschool last year, it was on, every kid said what they wanted to be. Hers said, doctor. You know, all the boys wanted to be Spider-Man, and Ray wanted to be a doctor. But the thing is that she, at least at this point in her life, she knows what she wants to be, and she's working at getting there, even if it's not quite exactly right. She's practicing being a doctor. And when we talk about discipleship is practicing the way of Jesus. Discipleship is actually taking time and being intentional to follow the way of Jesus. His invitation to us and to his disciples, of which we are, is come, follow me. That's his invitation. And when we read about that in the Gospels, when Jesus comes to the disciples, or to people who are not yet his disciples, and says, come follow me, the weirdest thing happens. They just drop everything and follow him. I don't know if I were working and some guy just came up to me and said, come follow me, if I would just drop everything and be like, okay, that seems like a recipe for disaster. But in the first century, the disciples, Jewish people, understood what that meant, to come follow a teacher, a rabbi. the Jewish education system was basically that they go to school until they weren't good enough to continue on, and then they were sent back to go work in the family business. And they were basically told, you're not good enough to be a disciple of a rabbi, so just go home and, you know, do good work and live out your life. But they desired, the biggest goal that they could have was to be the disciple of a rabbi. It was like going to graduate school. It was the best education you could get. But what they would do is they would live with their teacher. They did everything with their teacher. They spent time with their teacher learning his way of life. That was the purpose of being a disciple of a rabbi, was to learn how he lived. They would eat, they would work together, they would sit at his feet, and they would listen to his teachings, and the goal was that they would become like the rabbi. And then, eventually, they would turn around and teach others to be like that. They would do the things the rabbi did. That was the life of a disciple. That was why the 12 disciples were willing to drop everything to follow Jesus, because they were the rejected ones. They were the ones that would have wanted to continue on in their education but couldn't. They weren't selected by a rabbi. But Jesus selected them, and they were certainly not the ones that you would expect. They were not the ones who were top of their class. They were not the ones that people were seeking after. So to be told, come follow me, was a huge deal. Now when we read about the disciples in the Gospels, we recognize one major thing. They're boneheads. Right? They're boneheads. And we can stand up here in our 21st century, have the entire Bible in front of us, and be like, what boneheads? But also recognize that if we were there, we'd be those boneheads, right? In fact, I still am that bonehead. So they were called to follow Jesus. They were called to learn his way of life. And they went with him. But the thing is that Jesus made it very clear that his way is not going to be all that easy. In fact, it's a narrow way. Oh, is this not? I guess not. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, we read, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And only a few find it. And then we also read later on another thing that Jesus says. Oh, my PowerPoint person's not. Next slide, please. She's trying to fix the problem. And in Matthew 16, he says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's not uncommon today to hear people say, or at least make it sound like, following Jesus will be easy and all your problems will be solved instantly and life's just going to be nothing but smooth sailing for the rest of your life. That's the sales pitch that you sometimes get from people who are trying to convince people to become Christians. I'm not going to do that because that's just not true. Is it better? Yes. But Jesus promised the exact opposite. In this world you will have trouble. You have to deny yourself. It's a narrow path. It's not always going to be easy. And it wasn't always easy for the disciples. It wasn't always easy for them to understand what Jesus was saying. It wasn't always easy for them to apply or to do what he taught them. In fact, they go back and forth arguing about things all the time. Right after Jesus says things like, you got to humble yourself, they go along arguing about who's the greatest. They're all over the place. And it can be hard to follow Jesus. His way is narrow. It's like hiking up a mountain. Anybody been hiking up those mountains where you're on those narrow trails and you look down the side and you're like, if I just slip a little bit, yeah, it's scary. You want to hug the side of the mountain a little bit. The narrow road is challenging. It's quite challenging. And following Jesus can be challenging for us today for similar reasons and for different reasons. I think one thing that's important to recognize is that sometimes we limit the idea of entering through the narrow gate to just it's believing in Jesus, which is true. But it's also following Jesus. It's following His way, which can be challenging. One of the most terrifying verses, I don't have a slide for it, but one of the most terrifying verses in the Bible comes shortly after Jesus saying, enter through the narrow gate, which is skipping down to verse 21, which says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So it's not just about belief. Belief should lead us to wanting to be like Jesus, to follow his way, to follow his teachings. But it's not always easy to be a disciple of Jesus. It's not always easy to do the things that he calls us to do. And there's a lot of reasons why that could be true. Or even the idea of discipleship or being a disciple of Jesus might be foreign to you or might sound like something that's not for you. It is. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, it is for you. But I want to outline a few reasons why it can be difficult for us and hopefully correct that narrative and then come back to the purpose of being a disciple, as we will, over the course of the next month or so, talk about following Jesus and His way. So the first thing is that sometimes we treat the word disciple as a verb, not a noun. We talk about being discipled. I am being discipled. Like it's something that happens to us. And the truth is that there's some truth to that, that Jesus is at work in us. But we're not completely passive in it. In fact, the word disciple is not used as a verb, it's used as a noun. I am a disciple of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus. I am a student of Jesus. Those are the different ways that we can use that. So that's just a simple one, that sometimes we can think that discipleship is something that happens to us, not something that we are. We are disciples of Jesus, which means we have a part to play in our discipleship. We're not waiting for someone else to come along and do all the work for us. We are partnering with Jesus. We are allowing Him to work on us. Maybe that's the wrong way to phrase that. I don't know if we need to allow Him or He just will work on us. But we also come alongside and are intentional in following His way, making choices to follow Him. The second one is that we can be impatient. We can be impatient. I used to see this in students quite a bit. We live in kind of a culture of now. We want everything right now. And because of social media, I think young people, my generation and younger, I wasn't, social media came up, I was already kind of an adult when it came to be a thing. But I know young people really struggle with seeing all these fully formed people online and but we don't see the work that goes into it. I sat with more than one student who wanted to do something. Let's just say, like my daughter, they wanted to be a doctor, although that's not one that I think I sat with. And they went into the program to become the thing they wanted to be. And then they realized it was really hard. It was a lot of work. And they decided, this isn't for me because it's just not what I thought it was. And then they go and try something else and think, oh, well, this thing will get me to where I want to go faster. And they quit that one too. Now, I will say there's something to be said for trying something and being like, it's not for me. But eventually, when everything's not for you, you might want to start asking the question, am I willing to put the work in to get to where I'm called to be? Sometimes we think we ought to be fully formed already, or we ought to already know everything and have it all figured out. None of us do. Jesus said, come follow me. He wants us to be with him. John Mark Comer puts it in this way, to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, to do what Jesus does. It's a process. It's a journey. And in that process, we might be tempted to cut corners. Just like I know that when I worked in the restaurants, there was a process to doing everything. And it was really tempting to cut corners because it was easier. And John Mark Comer tells a story of a chef in his book lecturing his student about doing things the proper way. And this is what the chef said. We do things the long, hard, stupid way. And I kind of am afraid to say this, but as Christians, we do things the long, hard, stupid way. Not that following Jesus is stupid, although to the world it looks like complete foolishness, following Jesus. But we don't get to cut corners. It's a process. It's a journey that we're on, and it's a lifelong journey where we never fully arrive. So if we're impatient, we can miss the beauty of learning who Jesus is and having him transform us as we go on this journey with him. We can miss the beauty of being with Jesus, just being with him. And try to skip right away to becoming like him and miss over all these other things as he works on us bit by bit, day by day, moment by moment. And that word apprentice or apprenticeship is probably a better word for discipleship because I think we understand it a little more. I'm calling this series This is the Way because it's a Star Wars reference, but also because when followers of Jesus were first described, they were described as followers of the way. They weren't described as Christians right away. And sometimes that word Christian, although it's a great word, it's a great descriptor, makes us think of one thing. We believe in Jesus. But when we think of being followers of the way, it's a process and a journey that we're on. I also like John Mark Comer uses the word apprenticeship. I like it because it's also a Star Wars reference. Too many Star Wars. I'll be good. There's too many Star Wars references. But also, because when you're an apprentice, you're learning to do something. You're learning to do something. You're going through a process. And one day, you will get to the end of that process. Well, we don't ever get to the end of our apprenticeship with Jesus. But to think like an apprentice, that we are learning his way, learning from him, to be with him, to become like him, and to do what Jesus does. Just like a first century disciple would have done with their teacher. That's what we are to do. So we don't need to be impatient. It's a process. And it's a long process. And honestly, we never will arrive fully. So just start the journey where you are today and follow Christ where he leads. And the third one is that there's this idea that discipleship's really for super Christians. And this is actually a historical problem. If you go back to the Middle Ages, basically the disciples, the ones who were really digging into following Jesus, studying Scripture, spending time in prayer, were monks and priests. Where the everyday people, this is how my teacher David Wood, my church history teacher, put it. He said, the everyday people during church were just tossing dice in the alley until the priest came out and held up the bread for communion and said, hoc est corpus meum, which is where he said we get the term hocus pocus from. But also it means, this is my body. And then they would come in and have communion and then they'd leave. They come in for one thing and leave. They didn't have access to the Bible the way that we do. You had to learn Latin. They didn't have all those things, so there was this idea that truly following Jesus was for the elite super Christians. And the Reformation, a huge part of the Reformers' goal and their view was to have Scripture be available to people in their own language. People died, were executed, trying to get Scripture into the hands of the everyday people. Another huge, huge view of the Reformers was the priesthood of all believers. That means that we are all believers, can be followers, disciples of Jesus. You don't have to be a super Christian. You don't have to have it all, have all the knowledge and have all the education. We're all followers of Jesus. We're all disciples of Jesus. And in a current problem, today, we often have put a big distance between the idea of being saved and the idea of being a disciple. When we're saved to be disciples of Jesus. Sometimes sometimes people are just willing to leave it at, I'm saved and I don't need to go down that road of discipleship. Or we just go ahead and go, all those Bible nerds just need to go into ministry. When I was a youth leader, I was leading a game and it was a Bible trivia thing that I put together. And one of the kids said, Brad, you are a huge Bible nerd. He's right. I don't know if I'm the biggest Bible. I'm certainly not the biggest Bible nerd. Now that I've been in school for this long, there are people way more nerdy about the Bible than me. But when he said that, I thought, shouldn't we all be, at least to some degree, Bible nerds? Shouldn't we all just be like, I want to study this book. I want to learn as much as I can about Jesus and how to follow him. But there are sometimes, and maybe you're this way, that you feel content where you're at. I pray that you would remember that discipleship is for all believers. It's for all followers of Jesus. And this means that we can all learn the way of Jesus. It's not just reserved for some elite group of people who can read Greek and Hebrew. It's not reserved for people who study Scripture day and night. It's for all followers of Jesus. I was teaching on the idea of serving and being a disciple of Jesus, and one of my students put up his hand and said, so should we all just give up trying to do whatever we want to do and just all go into ministry? And I said, well, no. No, because we're all called to different things. We're all called to be disciples of Jesus no matter what our profession is. Which means that no matter what your job is today, do it to the best of your ability to worship God. My daughter, Ray, might not become a doctor, but whatever she does, I'm going to teach her to do it to the best of her ability. To glorify God. Not to build herself up, but to glorify God. Another aspect of this is that we're all wired in a certain way. We'll talk about this a little bit more in a later date, but we're all wired in a certain way. We all have different passions and things that drive us. My daughter, she is wired to care for people. She is wired to care for people. Melissa, she is wired to love and care for children, to advocate for children. You want to hear her talk about, you want to hear someone passionate about young kids and their development and their faith development, not just in her preschool area, but also in their faith. Just talk to my wife about it. She will just go. She is so passionate about making sure kids are treated the way that they're supposed to be treated and are raised up the way that they ought to be raised up. That's a calling. She's a preschool teacher now, but she might not always be one, but her calling is towards children. So we're all called to do something. And we're all called to be followers and disciples of Jesus. And in whatever way God has wired us to do that with the best of our ability to glorify God. The other way that we can get mixed up in this is the idea that we might say we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. This was taught to me over and over again when I was in youth group. It was one of the most common things stated when I was a teenager, and we all spent a lot of time trying to figure out what that meant exactly. We're in the world, we're not of the world. And it really leads to two extremes. Some people decided, well, if we're in the world, we're not of the world, that means I can do everything the world does and just, you know, but I'm not of the world, so I can just go do that. That's what the Corinthians did. It's not a new thing. Or there's people that decided, well, I'm going to be completely separate from the world, and I'm going to be, you know, completely alienated from it because I'm not going to do any of those, not going to watch any shows, not going to do any of these things, going to keep completely separate. It's the reason why we have all the different Christian media. It's not that those things are necessarily bad, but it creates this bubble where we're kind of this subculture. Either way, those two extremes don't do anybody any good because we miss the point of being a disciple of Jesus in the world. We get this idea from Jesus' prayer for all of his disciples, including us, in John chapter 17, which says, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus didn't want to take us out of the world or create some complete separation between his followers and the world. He sent us into the world. Go make disciples of all nations. So we're not of the world. We've been taken out of the world in that sense. We're not of the world. But we've been sent into it to be the light in the darkness. Which is why you can go to work tomorrow and do everything to the best of your ability to glorify God, even if your job isn't cracking open a Bible at 9 a.m. tomorrow to prep next week's sermon. Because we're all called to be the light in the world, to follow Jesus wherever he may lead us. I want to go back to this idea that we are called first and foremost. The first goal, the first step of being a disciple is to be with Jesus. It's just to be with him. That's where it starts. To be with him. To spend time with him. To get to know him. We read from John chapter 15 earlier in the service that talks about abiding in Christ. Christ is the vine and we are the branches. We must remain in him and he in us. In order to do that, what do? we spend time with Him. Getting to know Him. But the problem is that we're so busy. We're so busy sometimes. I know I'm so busy sometimes. I was listening to Garden City. I can't say that I read it. I listened to Garden City by John Mark Comer this week. And in it, I had to listen to it several times so I could tell it to Melissa. He says, I have 3 kids. They cost a lot of time, money, energy, and stress, and they are systematically destroying my house. But they're the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. And I said, I resonated with that so hard, it wasn't even funny. I was like, you throw a cat in there, and that's exactly our life. We're busy. It's so easy to forget, or to just have so many other things going on. Gotta take the kids here, gotta go do this, meet with this person, gotta do all these different things, getting pulled in so many different directions, that it can be so easy to forget to spend time with Jesus. It takes being intentional. I think we need to slow down. I was saying to a couple of people that this Christmas was actually the slowest paced Christmas I've had in a long time. Because Christmas can be so fast paced, especially if you work in ministry. It can be so fast paced. And life today can be so fast paced because we all have our smartphones and people have access to us 24 hours a day and we have access to work 24 hours a day. I'm really trying. This is one of my goals for this year, is to really try and not check email every single day, every single hour. Sometimes you need to, but we also need to unplug from that and just spend time abiding in Christ. We need to say no to certain things. I want to go back and read Matthew 7. 13 to 14 again. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. The broad way is basically the way that can say yes to everything and anything. The narrow way, by entering through the narrow way, by saying yes to Jesus, we saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you sang that and you meant it, that means you've said no to a whole bunch of things already. And we're on the narrow way. It's a way that is not easy. It's a way that you could stumble off the edge if you're not careful. It's a way where we have to get put back on it sometimes by Jesus. But it leads to life, not to destruction. It's a way that requires us to say no often. We also read Matthew 16:24. If anyone wants to come after me, if anyone wants to be my disciple, if anyone wants to be my apprentice, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying yourself means even saying no to yourself. Saying no to the things that you may want to do. Might mean saying no to sleeping in the morning. Saying no to watching that show. And saying yes to spending time with Jesus instead. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to follow Jesus wherever He may lead. Ask yourself this week, are there things I need to say no to so that I can be with Jesus on a more regular basis, so that I can then grow from being with Him to becoming like Him, to doing what He does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your amazing love. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You came and lived among us. We thank You that You have called us to follow You. We thank You that You didn't just tell us to follow You and then give us no instructions. We thank You that You've given us instructions. That You showed us how to live through Your life and teachings. We thank You that You've saved us through Your death and resurrection. And I pray that You would help us to follow You well. To be intentional in spending time with You. To be intentional in being with You. I pray that we would become apprentices of You. That You would work on us and we would lean in to Your teachings. I pray You would help us to say no to certain things, to slow down, and I pray that You would help us to say yes to spending time with You, just to be with You, just to be near You, to learn from You, to enjoy Your presence. And I pray that You would help us to recognize our calling to glorify You in all that we do, whatever it is we are doing right now. I pray we wouldn't be impatient, but that we'd recognize that it's a process. And that You would lead us through the long, hard, stupid way. I pray that we recognize that following You is for all Christians, all people who have answered Your call to follow. And I pray that we would recognize that You have sent us into the world to be a light in this world, not to become like the world, but to point the world to You. And I pray You would help us to do that one day, one moment, one conversation at a time. I pray that we would say yes to You leading us wherever You would lead. We will follow. In Your name, amen.